God is in the midst of us and is mighty in our midst. Truly, the house belongs to God. He determines the direction and the pace. We will not continue. We ought to have looked at Luke chapter 8, another aspect of the parable of the sower today. But I perceive in my heart that we'll go in a different direction today because of what the Lord wants to do. The name of the Lord is Yeshua, salvation. That name, we will exalt it and will be exalted in the midst of this house today. Amen. That is his name, Yeshua, salvation. We will see his salvation today. Amen. Father, we take up prayers and intercession for our brothers in Nigeria for ministry. We thank you because you have given your angels charge over them to keep them, to defend them in all their ways. As a church, we speak life over them. We bring the covering of God that cannot be broken, that cannot be violated. We bring it over our brethren. And we declare that they are blessed in the field. In that field of labor, they will be fruitful. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare over their interests. Their interest is protected. Amen. Their interest is preserved. No evil reports will they hear concerning their interests. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. Whenever they come back, we'll receive them with thanksgiving and with good reports. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our God opens and no one can shut. When our Father shuts a door, no one can open it. No one has the kind of capacity that our Father has. If our Father says yes to a thing, no one can say no. Nobody can say no when our Father has said yes. Has God said yes to you in that matter? Nobody can say no. No man, no law, nothing can change it if God has said yes. God has said yes, no man can change it. We'll begin by looking at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Okay, let's take verse 1 and verse 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. John chapter 1. Our sister read from 1 to 5. We are going to read from 11. Let's read verse 12 and 13. No, let's take from 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In verse 13, we see two beds. We see the beds of blood, of the flesh, of the will of man. That bed, every one of us had it or have it. That is the natural bed. That bed made us living souls, made us human beings. But we see another bed again that bettered us into sonship. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. That is the new birth. And that is the birth that made us sons of God. And this birth is not by the will or orchestration of man. So there are two persons, two eyes here. The flesh, Adamic man, and the Christ man, the man who is the Son of God. For every one of us, the eye that fills your mind is the eye that dominates your life. If you see yourself and consider yourself as a natural man, you will be head bound by limitations of the natural man. But if you see yourself and the eye of your divinity, the eye of who you are in Christ, the eye of the Son of God, that eye, if that eye fills your mind, if it dominates your mind, it births you into the realm of the supernatural. It births you into the realm of possibilities. For the scripture says, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, it is the new man in Christ that has been birthed into the supernatural plane as a son of God that operates on that frequency and that mindset. There is so much in redemption, so much power available to us, so much of what Christ has paid for that is available to us. If we don't know it, we cannot enjoy it. We cannot receive it. Brethren, I'm not sure any one of us has tapped 3% of the fullness that is available to us. We've not tapped it. But it's available for us, available to us to draw from. We cannot draw unless we know who we are in Christ. Only the spiritual man can connect to the things of the Spirit and draw from it. We are looking at renewing our minds. Just a 15-minute talk, then as the Spirit will lead, we'll go into the message. 1 Peter 2:9. Shows us again who we are in Christ. If we forget who we are, we cannot manifest as how we're supposed to manifest. I heard of a testimony recently in the early days of the Pentecost, how a man that had many issues and had stunted growth went to this servant of God and said he wants to grow tall. This servant of God was not shocked because he has come to a realm of possibilities. He said, how tall do you want to grow? The man just said 5 feet. He now said, okay, like this. The man is a tall man. He just did the sound like this. He said, Father, we thank you because it grows now. This thing is not story. That man that was short grew. Brethren, there is so much power available to us in the gospel. But we need to know who we are. Our minds are renewed according to who we are. Then the limitations will give way in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. We want to see who we are in Christ. First Peter 2:9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Who are you? Say, I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. A peculiar person to show forth the praise of God. Let this light sink into us, Almighty God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. We read verse 12 and 13. Then said the Lord unto me. Okay, let's start from verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well. I will hasten my word to perform it. I'll read it again. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well. I will hasten my word to perform it. Now let's go to verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Now there is a connect between these two things. When the Lord asked him what he saw, he said he saw the rod of an almond tree. What he saw was what God had already put in his mouth. In verse 9, God touched his mouth. God said, I will put my words in your mouth. So what he saw was what God had already put in his mouth. And he said what God has put in his mouth. And when he said it, what was the Lord's response? The Lord said, I will hasten my word. I will hasten my word. That word which he put already in Jeremiah's mouth, which Jeremiah spoke, the Lord said he will hasten it to perform it. That is the principles of God's word. God puts his words in our mouths. And when we speak God's word, God is committed to hasten to see to the performance of that word. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. That is the God that we serve. The God who hastens, who watches over his words to perform it. That is the God that we serve. That is who our Father is. This revelation of who he is, we must use it to worship him. My Father who hastens his word to bring it to pass. My Father who hastens his word. When I speak it, my Father hastens it to bring it to pass. Why? Because it is what he has given to me to say. What he has given to me to speak. As I bring it forth, as I speak it, then my Father brings it to pass. This is the secret of enjoying the blessings of redemption. The blessings of redemption, so vast, so much. But you must connect with every blessing of redemption with your faith. In connecting with your faith, you must speak what God has said. God is committed to do and to perform what he has spoken. He's committed to bring to pass what he has said. That is why we call him the faithful God, a reliable God. He doesn't fail, and he will never fail. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Last week we began to celebrate the victories of Christ on the cross. And we are taught to look at the parable of the sower today. But as the meeting went, I weighed it in my heart, weighed it in my spirit. And I said, we will not go that way today, the thorny condition. But let's still celebrate the victories of Christ, the victories that Christ has secured for us on Calvary tree. Let's still celebrate it. We'll read verse, Isaiah 60, verse 18. You know the ways of God. Before God comes to announce a thing, he has already done it before he comes to tell you. God does not announce a thing if he has not done it. Right? He has already accomplished it. He has already done it before he comes to proclaim it to you. If God has not accomplished a thing, he doesn't proclaim it to you. All of the things that God is doing, even to the overthrow of the dragons from the heavens, it has already, God has already accomplished it. All of it has been accomplished before he comes to proclaim it to us. Amen? So let's read verse 18. Verse 18 says, violence shall no more be heard in your land. Please wait. What is your land? You said? Your soul, your body, that's your land. And that word violence means a lot of things. It has to do with oppression. It has to do with injustice. And the Lord said, violence shall no more be heard in the land. Wasting, devastation, destruction within thy borders. That means your interests, your vehicle, your apartment, everything that pertains to you will not experience any form of wasting or destruction. And what does that translate to? That translates to perpetual security, perpetual preservation. He said, within thy borders, not just within thy borders, he said, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. So we see two things here. We see what God has done and he proclaims it to us. He says, violence shall no more be heard in your land. Now, the same breath that said, let there be light, and there was light, is the same breath that has said, violence will no more be heard in your land. Same breath, same God, same power, same spirit, nothing different. If all the domain of darkness could not stop the resurrection of Jesus because the Father already said it, and then the Father also said, violence shall no more be heard in your land. It is so. It is so. Believe it. It is God's word. But God who said it already has done something. Let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John 19 verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghosts. When Jesus said, it is finished, what was it that was finished? What was it that he brought an end to? It is finished. What finished? Not him. He was not saying, I am finished. He said, it is finished. With that statement, he put an end to everything that is of the course of the law. He put an end to all things that are afflicting. He put an end to every form of depression. He put an end to every form of captivity. He put an end to every form of satanic harassment. He put an end to all sickness and diseases. When he said it is finished, he meant it was finished. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, it is finished. Brethren, it is finished. That which he said is finished is because he already has accomplished something. He has done something, he has perfected it, and then he proclaimed it that it is finished. What is finished? Isaiah chapter 60. You know, you can put it like this, dash, 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 it is finished. You put dash, 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 and you continue with Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18. What is finished? Violence will no more be heard in your land. Nobody say amen. Amen. Violence will no more be heard in your land. Amen. Violence will no more be heard in our land. Amen. Neither will there be wasting nor destruction within our borders. Amen. Because Jesus said it is finished. Every delay you have been experiencing, it is finished. Amen. It is finished. Jesus said it is finished. Every delay is finished. Amen. Depression is finished. Amen. A casting down is finished. Amen. All afflicting circumstances finished. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is finished. Violence will not be heard in your land again. It is finished. No more. In the name of Jesus Christ, there will be no wasting. Wasting of health, wasting of resources, wasting of time, devastation within your borders. Everything that concerns you in your work, everything that is your interest, no more wasting. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is what the Lord has done. That you see, this is the beauty of living the spiritual life. This is the beauty of following God. It is living above the realms it's living above the natural realms. It is to have exemption. It says, this day will I put a difference between those that serve me and those that serve me not. He said in Egypt, he said, today you will put a mark. Distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians. That distinction has been put. It must be maintained between the believer and the unbeliever. The believer should not be suffering what the unbelievers are suffering. How can you bring help to the man? You cannot bring help to the man. That is why we must have exemption from calamities, from plagues. For he said he's given his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. And he says, the plague shall not come upon thee, neither shall there be, Psalm 91, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come. That has put a distinction between the believer and the unbeliever. But we must believe what God has said. God does not have any problem. We must believe it. Once you believe the word, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus Christ said to Mary and Martha, he said, I have told you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. The man met Jesus. He said, if you can, help me. Jesus Christ said, it's not if I can. If you can believe, it is not if God can do it. If you can believe the word that God has spoken, and you put it in your mouth and you speak it, you will see the manifestation of what God has said, because he's a faithful God. Amen? Isaiah chapter 60. Verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Wasting or destruction will see thy borders. Because Jesus said what? It is finished. No more. Does somebody believe that? Does somebody believe that? Jesus said what? It is finished. Glory to God. Glory to God. It is finished. It is finished. No more. An end to every recurring sickness. It is finished. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mental challenges, finished. Jesus put an end to it. It is finished. In the name of Jesus Christ. That is his name. Adonai. Let's continue in our reading. Verse, okay. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Thou shalt call. So it is between you and God. God declares what he has done. You shall call your walls salvation and thy gates praise. Now, what does this word mean, walls? Walls of a person's life refers to the things that are visible about your life. The things that people see about your life, that is what your walls represent. So where you are sitting now, you can see three walls. One on this side, one in front of you, right? So the things that people see about your life is what is termed your walls. And now God is saying to you that the things that people see about your life, which are your experiences, you know, if a man is blessed, you cannot hide it, right? If a man is blessed, you cannot hide it. It's obvious that this person is blessed. People see it. People see good things. People know it. If your faith is working, if God is with you, people know that God is with you, right? People know. Even you yourself, you will know that God is with you. So, it says, you shall call your walls salvation. He has put the ball in your court. He has put it in your court. He has told you what to call it. You shall call your walls what? Salvation. So you are to call, you are to speak with your mouth the things that pertains to your life, your experiences. You is your responsibility to call your walls salvation. And then to call your gates praise. What is salvation? That's what salvation there means, Yeshua. It means Yeshua. And that is the encapsulation. That is the name of Jesus Christ. That is his name. Yeshua, that's his name, that Jesus Christ. And you shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus Christ, before he shall save his people from their sins, and all the effects and all the bad things that concern sin. So that is his name. So when you say you shall call your world salvation, that means all the experiences of your life must reflect what Christ has done. How? By what you say, by what you speak. Amen? All your experiences must reflect salvation. It must reflect what Christ has done. How? By what you say, by what you speak. So nobody will call your word salvation for you. I will not call your word. There is a place for collective ministration. There is a place for individual ministration. But this one we are seeing here, it said, and thou shalt call your word salvation. So it is you that will open your mouth and call your word salvation. And salvation speaks of healings, it speaks of prosperity, it speaks of favors. And you shall call your gates what? The gates of praise. When you call your gifts the gifts of praise, it means in your circle, in your house, all of your experiences, only the voice of rejoicing shall be heard in your tabernacle. The voice of celebration will not cease. It will not diminish. Because you continually call your gates the gates of praise. Amen? Today, we are looking again at the victories of Christ. We are bringing to mind again that which Christ has accomplished for us on Calvary tree. And then we are going to call our words salvation in the name of Jesus. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Let's see what Jesus accomplished on the cross. When he said, "It is finished, that violence will no more be had, neither will there be waste nor destruction." What did he do? And he said, "It is finished." Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hi. If you ever read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and you see the curse of the law, you know that the curse of the law is bad. Have you heard about hereditary disease and sickness? That thing they call hereditary disease and sickness is a curse of the law. It's bad. All poverty, lack and want is a curse of the law. All mental whatever is a curse of the law. All forms of defeat is a curse of the law. But God does not want us to suffer it. It is not God's will for us. So what did he do? Christ came and redeemed us from the curse of the law. If it's a curse of the law, say, God does not want me to have it. And Christ has redeemed me from it. If it's a curse of the law, God does not want me to have it. And Christ has redeemed me from it. If it is a curse of the law, Christ, God does not want me to have it. And Christ has redeemed me from it. Amen. Let's read. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, what is his desire for us? Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is God's will for us. This is the Father's desire for us. No, now let's declare Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. Let me remind us of one of the blessings of Abraham. He said to Abraham, he said, all those who will bless you, I will bless them. He said, anyone that will curse you, anyone that will be hostile against you, that God himself will be hostile against that person. That's one aspect of the blessing of Abraham. Remember Abimelech, that king, who was going to be hostile to Abraham. He took Abraham's wife and God visited him. God did not allow anyone to do Abraham harm. Even those who had power to harm Abraham, God deprived them of their powers to harm Abraham. There are people who have power to harm you. There are people who have power to do you some things that are not right. But because Abraham's blessings are yours, God deprives them of the use of that power upon you. Your boss in the office has power to terminate your employment. But God somehow, even when we make mistakes in the workplace, God in his mercies, because of the blessings of Abraham, He does not he forbids them from using those powers against you. Has God ever helped you? Okay, now, this thing is recorded, but I'll just use it as an example. Has God ever helped you in times where the law seems to be against you, and God intervened for you, and that law that is written already, that was supposed to be enforced, that was supposed to be against you, God turned it, did miracles, turned the hearts of men and kings, and then that thing went in your favor. Has anybody ever experienced it before? So those are the blessings of Abraham. Another aspect of the blessing of Abraham is that even when we make wrong choices, when we make mistakes, we don't suffer. We are not a product of our mistakes. Because even when we make mistakes, God causes all things to work together for our good as long as we still love him. That is a connect of the blessing of Abraham. Abraham never suffered any form of defeat. Abraham never experienced any form of defeat. So no child of Abraham is supposed to suffer any form of defeat. Those are the blessings. You see, Abraham's blessings are mine. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. For the blessings of Abraham. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, we are celebrating and looking at the victories of Christ on the cross. These are the things that he did, and he said, it is finished. It is finished. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Is it Colossians chapter 3 or chapter 2? Where it says Christ has spoiled principalities and powers. Chapter, is it 2? Yes. Colossians 2, verse 14 and 15. Blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them on the cross. Glory to God! What else did he do on the cross? On the cross, he disarmed all principalities and powers. He rendered all the forces of darkness powerless on the cross. He stripped them naked. He stripped them of all assumed authority and powers. On the cross, Jesus did all that. And then he proclaimed, "It is finished." We declare every oppression by the forces and powers of darkness, it is finished. Amen. It is finished. Amen. Every condition sustained by wicked powers and spirits, Jesus has overcome you. You wicked spirit that is sustaining any form of affliction, sickness, diseases, Jesus Christ has overcome you. The ground on which you operated, Jesus Christ has spoiled it. You operated on sin. Christ has taken away that ground. He has gifted us with righteousness. He has taken away your powers and authority. Therefore, you are spoiled in the name of Jesus. All works sustained by devils, we put an end to it. We put an end to it. We put an end to it. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is finished. It is finished. Say to Thomas, say, it is finished. Now call that situation and declare it is finished. That situation that you want to put an end to, that situation you want to see an end to, now say it with your mouth, say, it is finished. Pray. say with your mouth, it is finished. This thing is finished. Because of what Jesus has done, it is finished. No more. It is finished. In the name of Jesus Christ. It is finished. It is finished. That delay is finished. That embarrassment, finished. That pain, finished. That depressing situation, finished. That fear, finished. What is it? It is finished. Jesus said so. It is so. It is finished. Jesus has done it. It is finished. In the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 60. Verse 18. We want to come to violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Remember where we started from? He said, I will put my word in your mouth. And then the Lord now asked him, what seest thou? He said, I see the rod of an almond tree. And God said, I will watch over my word to perform it. So what he said was what God put in his mouth. So the Lord is saying to you and I, he said, call your words salvation. What does salvation mean? Salvation means peace. Salvation means prosperity. Salvation means favor. Salvation means preservation. It means exemption from evil. It means deliverance. So you are to call your words salvation. That means the things that will be your experience, the things that people will see about you, are the things that you say, are the things that you call your words, are the things that you speak about yourself. Many times people speak words that are not consistent with God's word about themselves. God has made you an artist. So you can beautify your life with your words. You can beautify your life with your words. You can turn the direction of your life by the words that you speak. They say the tongue is like the steering. You know, those days they use sheep, the rudder of a sheep. Now, if it's today, they'll say the steering wheel of your life is your... When it says your tongue, right? But that tongue is not actually the tongue. It means the word. It does not mean literal tongue, but it means your words. So you can turn your life, you can steer your life in any direction by the words of your mouth. It says the steering of the ship is very big, but the steering is very small. So the things that can turn your life around, that can alter the course of your life, is your tongue, the words that you speak. So whatever you see about your life, most times, what they're expressing today is as a result of the things that you say and keep saying. Amen? So, God has given us, you and I, instruction today. What is the instruction? Call your words salvation. Simple. Call your words what? Salvation. And call your gates what? Praise. Call your words salvation. Call your gates praise. Why? Remember what he has done. He said it is finished. He has put an end to delays. He has put an end to all such things. No more. He has put an end. It is finished. Now, for you to now enjoy it, you must now call your words salvation and your gates praise. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. We'll just read one more scripture to just further drive this thing. And then the message is preached. Maybe or maybe not, we'll look at parable so I get. But like we said, we want to magnify his name. We sang that song, Adonai. We want to magnify his name. So as we call our walls salvation and our gates praise, what are we doing? We are magnifying his name. For that is his purpose. That is his intent. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. What does the blood of the Lamb signify? The blood of the Lamb signifies what Christ has done. What Christ has done. That is what the blood of the Lamb signifies. So sometimes, let me just say this. God is helping us. God is teaching us. You know, sometimes when we pray, when people pray, yeah, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And then there is no deep understanding of what we are saying, what they are saying. So we cover the car stereo with the blood. We cover the projector. We cover the camera. That's good. But when we appropriate, when we lift up the blood of the Lamb, it's good we have an understanding of what we are saying. Now, the blood of Jesus, let me just put it in a summary form. When we say the blood of Jesus, or we use the blood of the Lamb, it's that we are, very good, we are lifting up the receipts. We are lifting up the receipts of what Jesus has accomplished. So, Jesus Christ has paid for it all. So when I say we lift up the blood of the Lamb, we are declaring in summary that Christ has overthrown all principalities and powers. Christ has paid the price. He has taken away the guilt. He has given us access. Once we lift up the blood of the Lamb, the next thing is to now proclaim what you are appropriating it for. If you hear when, so, should I say this? Okay, I'll say it. Now, for instance, we want to administer deliverance, or we want to bring an end to a satanic or demonic oppression. Then we say, we lift up the blood of the Lamb against you. That means we come to declare to you the victory of Christ over you, that Christ has triumphed over you, he has disarmed you, has rendered you powerless. Immediately you say that, the next thing that follows should be your own confession. Your own faith confession must follow. Anytime you lift up the blood of the Lamb, accompany it with your own faith confession. So if I say, I take up the blood, we lift up the blood of the Lamb over this, all our interests. That means Christ has paid the price for our interest to be secured. And then the next thing I will say is, I declare our interest is secured. What was the first thing I did? The blood of the Lamb. What Christ did. What was the first thing I did was, what Christ has done. I showed it. I revealed it. Bring the receipt of the payment. This is it. Christ has done it. Then the next thing that follows is my own confession of my faith, affirming what he has done. So when we use the blood of the Lamb, we must do it with understanding. So if there is a condition that is looking difficult, and you know that Christ has paid, now you can say, I lift up the blood of the Lamb, because Christ has. If you don't want to sell to the blood of the Lamb, say it with your mouth, Christ did this concerning this matter. If That is your, if I think it's even a, it's even an easier way to approach it. Say with your mouth, I know that Jesus paid the price. Jesus took stripes for my healing. Jesus took stripes for my healing. And because he took stripes for my healing, I receive healing for this body. What have you just done? The first thing you did was to present the blood. What Christ has done. The second thing was to do what? Your own confirmation. The words of our testimony based on what Christ has done. Amen? So once we understand this thing, when we are praying, say the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. It's not a mystical thing. You must have an understanding of what Christ has done. Preach it with your mouth. Do what? Preach it with your mouth. Preach to the situation. Say it with your mouth. Say, this pain, Jesus bore this pain for me. Jesus suffered this thing for me that I may not bear it. What are you doing? You are bringing the blood of the Lamb. You are presenting what Christ has accomplished. And then the next thing that follows is, I resist this pain. This thing must go. This situation must change. Amen? That is how to war with the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Praise God. So, this just, what did you call me yourself? This was not why we came. Praise God. But God is helping us and God is leading us. The reason why we came here was to pick, it is done. It is preached. Amen. 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 If I say let's do for why we came here, the Lord has expanded these scriptures to us in a way. So that is the reason why we came here. That's why God brought us to this scripture. So we summarize now. We said that we're in a season of celebrating what Christ has done for us. Because redemption and the new birth has given us an advantage in this life. And it has positioned us to be used by God to reach out to others. But we must be the first partakers. We must know who we are in Christ and the authority that is ours. We must ask the Lord to teach us to tap from this grace, tap from these riches, to teach us to tap it, to make it ours, to appropriate it to ourselves, to enjoy it. And then Jesus Christ said, it is finished. What is finished? Everything that pertains to the suffering and woes that came upon mankind because of sin, Jesus put an end to it on the cross. And then he said to us, it is finished. Violence will no more be heard in your land. Neither wasting nor destruction within thy borders. Then he gives us a responsibility. He tells us what to do. He said, call your walls salvation and call your gates praise. Amen? Amen. The message is preached. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He can never